Well, for these next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent are 15 Psalms, beginning in Psalm 120 and going through Psalm 134. Now, we're not going to cover all of them. We're going to kind of handpick some. They've already been picked out. In fact, on the 26th, I'll be with you 4 weeks. On the 26th, we have a little different message that morning to be able to share with you, obviously, in the spirit of the season. We'll do that. But what we want to do is we want to take a look into God's Word, and we want to be able to look at these psalms that are of ascent. Now, what that means is this. A psalm of ascent was something that the Jewish people either read or sang on their way up to Jerusalem for the required festivals. You'll remember the Jewish people, three times a year, were to make a pilgrimage wherever they were at, even out of country, ideally, if they could afford to, but they were to come to Jerusalem in order to celebrate. They were to come to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where they were reminded that in a hurry they needed to make bread in the Exodus, and it was a time of God's deliverance. And so what they would do is they would come to Jerusalem to be able to celebrate that. That was right after it began, right after Passover, and it was for 7 days. Now, if you've noticed anything about the festivals of the Jewish people, those folks like to party a lot. I'm just telling you, as you look in the Old Testament, they did a lot of these gatherings coming together, and this is just one of, there's over seven different festivals in the Jewish kind of calendar, if you will, but these were the ones that the Lord said you need to come to Jerusalem for. The second was the Feast of Weeks, a.k.a. Pentecost. Okay, Pentecost is actually the New Testament word for the Feast of Weeks. Feast of Weeks was literally 50 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They would come and they would celebrate this opportunity to acknowledge the Lord provided the harvest. And so there were grain offerings and gifts that they would bring to the temple in a way to be able to say thanks to God for his provision for the grain in the fields. And they would come up for that, and that was 50 days after Passover. And then there was the Feast of Booths. Now this, for those of you home decorators, this would have been your festival. Because what happened is, in order to remember that the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were wandering for 40 plus years, what they would do is they would come to Jerusalem and families would create these booths, literally, and they would live in them for 7 days as a way to remember that that's what their forefathers and mothers did in the wilderness. And so what they would do is, word was, is they really decorated them up. I mean, they were pretty snazzy, and it was a lot of fun, of course, is typical in the human spirit. You know, somebody was going, my booth looks better than their booth. But, you know, that probably was happening. But the fact is they did that, and they would come together. So on their way, as they were journeying to Jerusalem, whenever they began to start, usually that was kind of started by the, you know, the father of the clan, they would begin to either say or sing these psalms as a way to remember, as a way to prepare their hearts. Not a bad thing to do next Sunday on your way here is how do you prepare to be able to engage God. Because here's the thing about it is what we know is we can engage God anywhere, but it's not anywhere that we get to engage God together like we do here. And so it's not that this place is any better than anywhere else. There's just something unique about it. It wasn't that Jerusalem was any better than any other part of the place, but it was where the manifest presence of God was known in the temple, and people would come to that and celebrate that. It was an opportunity to come closer. And so this is an opportunity for us to be able to look back into the Psalms and be able to get an idea. So what I'd like you to do is take your Bibles out, please, and turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. It begins, and we're going to kind of read them in couplets because there's things we want to say in between. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So there was this call right away of help. What that does is it acknowledges that we as human beings do not have the answer for everything. In fact, you may find yourself in financial difficulty, in relational difficulty. You may have strained relationships with extended family, and you're thinking about the holidays, and you're already getting nervous. And so what we do is we call to our great and awesome God who understands and is an ever-present help in time of need. Don't be stubborn or stiff-necked. Admit your need. Acknowledge it. If you are here and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, humble your heart before the gracious hand of God. As he extends to you the free gift of salvation, receive it. Admit you need help. It's okay. I admit I need help every day. In fact, I confess my brokenness every day. Why? Because I'm broken. I don't know if you are. If you're not, please write a book. We all need to learn. We're all broken. Where does my help come from? I look to the mountains. Was this as they're ascending? And again, most of the Jewish people were going to have to literally go up to Jerusalem. Now, I realize it's not Colorado, but about 2,500, feet above sea level. When you're at sea level, is a pretty good hike, especially with little kids and maybe older family members, whatever it may be. It was a big deal. So we look to the mountain, but in that mountain is not only this, it's God. He is the one. Notice this, the Lord. What does it say? My help comes from the Lord. The word for Lord there is Yahweh. Remember when God first reveals his personal name. This is God's personal name. He first reveals it to Moses. Remember Moses, brilliant guy that he is. He sees a bush that's not being consumed as it burns, and he goes, I think I'll go over and see that. I'm intrigued by a bush that is burning, and it's not being consumed. I don't see ashes, so I think I'm going to go over and see it. As he begins to approach the bush, God speaks to him. And you remember, God says, I'm going to send you back, and you're going to be the deliverer for my people. And he's like, yeah, right. I've been doing just fine taking care of the sheep and the back 40 here. I'm just doing just fine in obscurity. And the Lord said, your time's over. It's time to head back. And so as Moses begins his process, right, he goes, well, who do I tell them sent me? I am who I am. That is the name of God, Yahweh. I am who I am. Not I was who I was, I will be who I will be. No, I am. I am always God. I am always in control. I'm always all powerful. I am always there. I am always present. I'm never past. I'm never future. I'm always now and will ever be me. Tell them that's who sent you. And so now we come to the psalmist and he says, it's okay to admit that you need help, but your help is going to come from Yahweh, personal God. I have a friend that told me the story that she was motivated to be able to go to the mountains. She needed to spend some time alone with the Lord. And so she heads up to the mountains, and as she's on her way, she just gets this real deep sense that, hey, Lord, one of my favorite animals is a moose, and I would like to be able to see a moose today. I think that would be neat to know that I would be able to see a moose. Now, of course, many of you hunters are going, well, she must have been in the early morning, or it's about, the setting of the sun if she's going to see a moose. Now, this is in the middle of the day. So what she does is she goes up, she spends time alone with the Lord. And the Lord, as she's kind of headed back, the Lord prompts her to kind of pull into this, this little picnic area. So, okay, sure, she pulls in. And then what she does is she kind of walks down. She's just kind of reflecting. And it's now 3:00 in the afternoon. And she is there, and she's kind of going, oh, okay, Lord, what am I doing? And the Lord prompts her and says, look up. She looks up, and there's a moose right there. And she said it was a profound moment of recognizing afresh how personal God is. She goes, I wanted to see a moose. I don't know if that was God's will or not, but I wanted to see a moose. I was having a tough time. I needed to get away. And you know what? God met me there. As she told me the story, she began to cry because of the personal nature of God. The word here isn't that this is the distant God, the one on the throne. This is the personal God, the one that personally knows everything about you. That's God. And he is the one that you can call for help because he not only knows your situation, he knows every detail that you don't even know about your situation. And he's an ever-present help in time of need. Do you believe that? Have you been going through a season? Maybe it seems too long. I'm always reminded when we go through seasons of difficulty, right? I mean, as Americans, we go through a season of difficulty for a week and we're like, oh, Lord, I'm exhausted. Oh, how long, Lord, deliver me? It's been a week. And I just remind myself, the Jews lived in bondage for 400 years. And they cried out for relief. And God met in his time. Here's one thing I know about God is he will always be God and do what he will do. Well, then I should never pray. No. Because you and I don't know every detail of God. He is far greater than us. We pray because we're a desperate people. God has already handpicked your next pastor. You just don't know it yet. Don't lose heart. Don't get frustrated. Don't go, what's the deal? In fact, I remember, you know, hiring staff. I mean, there'd be times when I remember we had this one. It's kind of like, all right, they're in. I mean, it's good. Everything looked good. And all of a sudden, they backed out. What? What happened there? We just spent 9 months looking for you. I was a little frustrated. Because we had to start all over again. So, it's the way it goes. Well, Listen, the Lord knows. He's already handpicked your pastor out. You just don't know it yet. So trust in the Lord. Commit to praying. Don't give up. Don't lose heart about what you need as a congregation. Commit to the Lord. Don't give up what you need personally. You need help. It might be in your business. It might be in relationships. It might be in whatever area. You need help. And the one who knows the best is Yahweh because he's a personal God. But what does the verse tell us as well? The maker of heaven and earth. He's not the God that hopefully will provide, you know, a good crop, although we're grateful for the crop, and so we celebrate God's goodness. But he's the one that started all this thing. Everything that we see, the stars, the moon, all the planets, you know, the earth that we live on, he is the maker of that. Not only is God personal, but he is all-powerful. So it's nice to know that he's going to be closer than a brother, Scripture tells us. In fact, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, he's closer than any human being ever could be because he lives in us. He's that personal, but he's all-powerful as well because the Lord can do anything, anything. Have you ever experienced a miracle? Have you ever seen God provide in a way that you had no idea? Have you ever been to the end of the rope? Or how's this one? You can't even remember the last time you saw the rope, things are so bad. And then out of nowhere, God provides. God is always on time. Not ours, on his. But know this, he is the maker of heaven and earth, so what you and I need, quite frankly, is peanuts. Trust him. Trust him. Cry out to him. Acknowledge your need of him and your need for help. He is not only personal, but he is all powerful. We need to gain that. Can you imagine singing that? Lord, thank you for being personal and all powerful. Think about singing that every day. What would that look like as you begin to go into work? You are personal. You know everything about my work environment. You know every detail of what I'm facing, and you are more than powerful to accomplish far more than I could ever imagine or even dream of, Lord. How exciting. That's the God you and I know personally. He is for us, not against us. He will work on our behalf. Will you trust him? Verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This idea of the foot slip, does that mean I'll never slip on ice and fall? No, that's not what that means. You want to read that couplet together. God is so attentive that he never sleeps nor slumbers on us. Slumber means he doesn't take a siesta, he doesn't take a break, or he doesn't do this. Good gravy. How many times are you going to ask me that? Ah, you weary me. God never gets tired. Ever gets tired. In fact, it's not even in his character. God can't sleep. It's not even who he is. He is always ever present, fully aware. You know, when we want our spouse to be able to talk and we want to be able to open our heart and share our emotions, and then as we begin to do that, our spouse goes, "You know, I'm not sure quite what you said, but God bless you." You're like, "Can you just be present with me? Can you just hear me?" Yes, God can. And yes, God will, every moment of every day. Although we may feel by ourselves as a believer, it is impossible for us to ever be alone. Why? God lives in us. And if we'll allow ourselves to listen to hear that, you are in the majority when you stand with God, the maker of heaven and earth, the provider of every good gift. So no need to fret. You might literally slip. The idea there is that God is fully aware of what is happening. God is not the perpetrator of evil, nor does he continue evil. He has nothing to do with that. But God uses evil and allows even evil to happen in our lives. I don't understand all that. You know, I've been studying philosophy now for 35 years, theology for 35 years, and the older and older that I get, the more and more I just don't know. But I do know this. God is personal, and he's all-powerful. You may not get every question answered. In fact, I love some believers. You know, when I get to heaven, I got me a list. I got some questions that God better be ready to answer. By the time you get up off of your face worshiping God, let's find out where the list went. Because we will not only know, but we will be known. You're at home. No matter what you have faced in this life, some, it doesn't make sense. Disease, death, doesn't make sense. Where is it? What is that all about? If I had the answer, I'd write a book so we could all have a little bit more hope. But here's what I want us all to hope in, is God who understands it all. I don't have to understand it. That's why I can cry out for help, because I am human, I am limited, I am shallow at best. And God knows everything, and I don't have to. I can call to him for help, and he will provide what he deems necessary. Do you believe that? Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever trial, tribulation, joy, sorrow, whatever it is, God understands. And he is willing to meet you where you're at. The passage goes on to tell us, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. In fact, if you just read that, you're going, I'll never get a sunburn? That would be great. Yeah, let's not try that. Okay? I'm just going to go out for, like all day. No, the idea is God is shade. Literally, he's close. He's a protector. It's imagery here. It's beautiful imagery. Is it that we're going to get a moon burn? Is that what he needs to protect us from? The moon? No, he says he understands and he has protected us during the day and during the night. Just like the Israelites had a cloud of fire by night and a cloud that led them by the day, God knew what they were doing and they just needed to follow in obedience. God knows everything about your day and your evening. He is fully aware. He is fully ready to do what it is. Think about it. Think about it. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but Colorado drivers are crazy. Okay? I lived in Chicago, and I felt safer in Chicago. Colorado drivers are crazy. Think about how many times God has protected you, and you don't even know about it. Probably every time you get on I-25. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is scary. That's why I try to outrun everybody. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So if that's a little over 75, it is what it is. But the point is this, is God understands, and he provides protection. Kind of like shade protects us when the sun is beating down. Isn't that another incredible thing that we know about Colorado? Even when it's 100 degrees out, if you'll get in the shade, it's pleasant. Let me tell you what happens in Chicago when it's 90 degrees out. You're sweating bullets. Whether you're in the shade or not, because the humidity is ridiculous. But in Colorado, just get in the shade. And even when it's 100, it's reasonable. No matter what you're facing, know this, God is your shade. He is your protector. He is working for you in ways you have no idea. That's how awesome he is. We are reminded of that. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life, your soul. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forever. And in this is this hope. This hope that not only does God know our day in and day out, what we're doing, what our plans are. In fact, isn't it the best thing? I don't know about you, but when I was a pastor, I never planned a day. You know why? Because it would never go that way. So I'd plan it, I'd go, I think I'm going to plan a day. Nope. Yeah, I just finally said, forget it. We're going to roll with it, Lord. Because as soon as you plan a day, then all of a sudden there's three people that come into the office that need to see you that you never anticipated. And if you're going, my plan's more important than people, that's a problem. So get rid of the plan. At least I did. And God understands that. And so we try to figure things out. Right? We try to plan things and all that, but God knows that. But the beauty of this verse is this. Not only does he know every detail of every day of our life, he knew us, he's the one that formed us in our mother's womb. He understands everything about our life, but he will bring us home. You know one of the most troubling things for me in the evangelical community? There's been a loss of heaven. Heaven, I've heard some, is all about how we live now. If this is all that heaven is, God ripped us off. I'm telling you that right now. If this is it, forget it. I'm telling you, we signed up on the wrong line. But I'm telling you, he has a place that is far greater than this will ever be. And when we're home, and when we're known like we've never been known before, when there is peace, no more war, he wipes away every tear, every pain, every sorrow. In that place with him where he shines bright, moment in, moment out, every moment of our existence, and we will live forever, my friends, that place is the real deal, and that's what our hope is in, because it's not just in this life. We fully engage this life. Why? Because God has called us to be ambassadors. We're to engage people who don't know Christ. We're to engage each other in joining in community and loving each other. But my friends, there is so much more coming because God will deliver us home. And it's not here. You've got a structure you call home. It comes and goes. But the home that he has for us, yes, that home is heaven with him. There probably won't be much of a list that you have to ask him questions because you'll be home. The fullest satisfaction of your soul. Have you ever felt angst in your soul spiritually? Kind of like a, good. You know why? Because it was never meant to be fulfilled here. Ever. There are moments where we take a drink and there's a moment. It's kind of like drinking water where there is moments of satisfaction here. Like, for example, all of you grandparents watching your grandkids, there's moments when you're going, does it get any better than this? I mean, this is the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, good gravy, being a parent stunk compared to this, right? I mean, it was so hard. But now you get to do it a little differently, and you get to invest, and it's all about legacy, and you're excited, and you see your grandkids. And when my granddaughter, when she reaches for grandpa, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. It's over. It's like I get a big drink of cool water for a moment. But my soul will never be satisfied until I'm home. Just like your soul will never be satisfied till you're home with him. And here's what the psalm tells us. He will follow us all the way through and get us home. Do you believe it? Would you take a moment to just bow your head as we reflect on a few things this morning, just in the quietness of the moment? Do you need to call out to God for help? This would be a good time. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter whether this is the thousandth or the millionth time that you've called, call. Do you find yourself in a place where he is the only one that can really help you? Do you need to be reminded that God is deeply attentive of you and your life? He knows you. He loves you. He's attentive to you. Remember, God is always with you. He will never leave you or turn his back on you ever. You're his child. You belong to him. Maybe you need to be encouraged and be reminded that God will bring you home, each and every one of his children. And if you are his child, he will bring you home. Would you just take a moment to reflect on the truths of God's word and allow it to touch your heart?